In nearly every single miracle story that we find in the Gospels, almost always either someone comes to our Lord or another brings them to our Lord so that a miracle might be accomplished. The woman suffering with hemorrhages for 18 years, she reaches out in the crowd and grabs the tassel of our Lord's cloak. The centurion with a servant at home, close to death, he comes from the neighboring village to ask our Lord to perform this miracle. Over and over and over, it appears that it's the movement of another coming to Christ to beg for grace. The crippled man on a mat, how does he draw near to our Lord? His friends lower him down through the roof. But what happens in the gospel today? Jesus seeks out this man. The opening line, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. Our Lord approaches him. What is the reality? Our Lord always, in every single situation, no matter how it might appear otherwise, he takes the initiative. Our Lord says, no one can come to me unless the Father draw him. Every prayer we ever say, every act of charity, every time we turn to our Lord, it is a response to his initial grace. The Holy Spirit is already at work in our hearts. God the Father is calling us. And why? Why does God take the initiative? Because he desires the salvation of all. We believe by faith. People ask me this all the time. You know, is everybody saved? Well, we leave that up to God. But is everybody offered the opportunity to be saved? Yes, we believe that by faith. That God gives light to every single person in the world. And therefore, it is up to the individual to decide, do they want to embrace the light they've received, or do they prefer to remain in darkness? And the scary thing that the gospel today reveals is that even those seeing our Lord working miracles can still reject the light, as we find in the lives of some of the Pharisees. But what happens when we do say yes? When we try to embrace the light we've been given? What does our Lord say to us? What we find in the gospel, follow me, and I will give you the light of life. You've responded to this initial grace, follow me, and I will give you more. But this is the crucial point. He does not say, I will give you the fullness of life, and then come follow me. He says, follow me, and then I will give you the light of life. So oftentimes we wish, God, if you would just show me clearly, if you would leave it so that I have no doubt, yeah, of course I'll follow you, anything you ask. But then there'd be no faith. There'd be no surrender, no trust on our part. 15 years ago, there was a lady going through RCIA. She was preparing to become a Catholic. She'd been raised with no religion. Her family was Catholic. She'd raised her children Catholic because her husband was Catholic. She was in her late 30s, a wife and a mother of three. She's going through RCIA, and she is loving it. And they get about halfway through the year, and she thinks, oh my gosh, my whole life, why did I wait? And then one night she comes to class, and the presenter, the topic that night, was about certain moral teachings of the church. And two in particular that she greatly struggled with were the church's teaching of the evil of abortion, but even more so, the church's teaching of the evil of artificial contraception. That the church teaches that not only every act of abortion is sinful, but every act, every artificial means used to prevent life between a married couple is grievously sinful. She thinks, I could never believe that. But everybody does. Are you kidding me? She said, I know people that go to Mass every Sunday and they're doing it. Why can't we? Do we really have to believe that? She was going to walk away from the classes, going to leave the church completely. And one of the instructors came up and said, hey, don't make a decision tonight. Don't react. Just continue on with the classes. You can make a decision later on. Come, continue to hear the fullness of the church's teaching before you decide. But I can never embrace that teaching. But she decides she'll continue to go, even if she's not going to become Catholic. Well, at least I'll know what the church teaches. They approach the Easter Vigil, and she has to come to a decision. And she's praying about it, and all of a sudden she realizes, oh my gosh, I believe everything else that the church teaches. Things I never even thought that I would come to faith in. I believe this and this and that and that. What if I'm wrong about this teaching? What if I'm going to walk away just because of these two things that I disagree with when I believe the entire rest of the church is teaching? And so she decided that she would simply make an act of surrender. Okay, Lord, I'm not sure about this, but I'll put my trust in you and just see what happens. The moment that she did that, it was as if the scales fell from her eyes. And all of a sudden, she was given the light and she saw so clearly and she thought, how did I never believe this before? Now she is a huge advocate of the church's teaching on marital issues. What was necessary? That she make the act of faith. That she say, yes, Lord, even though I don't see things perfectly, clearly, I will follow you. And then he gave her the light of life. What is the degree of trust that our Lord calls us to? It is total. Lord, I will believe in you no matter what you ask of me. And I close with this story. There's a gentleman in our parish, a husband, a father. He's about 40 years old, and this is totally public, so I'm not sharing anything private. He has two kids in our school, two kids of Christian brothers, a little guy still at home. His name's Brad Colvis. A few months ago, he started to feel very weak. So he was tired at work every day. He thinks, gosh, what's going on? I'm normally full of energy. I'm in good shape. I'm a father. You know, he couldn't figure it out. A few weeks go by and he thinks, well, gosh, maybe I should go to the doctor, but, you know, I never really needed to go before. One day he comes home from work and he is going to take a step up so that he could enter the door of his home. He can't lift his leg up enough to take that step. Then, in fact, when he tried to do so, he fell over backwards, hit his head on the concrete, and that's the first time he was rushed to the hospital. He found out that he has a rare form of a very rare disease where his body actually eats away at his muscles. A few weeks ago, I visited him in the hospital. He had gotten to the point where he could not even lift his hand high enough to scratch the top of his head because his muscles were not strong enough. He couldn't even roll over in his bed without his wife's assistance. He was almost totally debilitated. I was called to go to the hospital to anoint him. They weren't sure if he was going to live. And I thought, my goodness, what kind of condition is he going to be in? What sort of response will I find? I got to the hospital. His wife is laying in the medical bed with him. I walk in. I was totally surprised to find him calm, serene, completely at peace. And I looked at him, I said, how are things going? He said, Father, things are okay. He said, you know, it's interesting the way God works. The last couple of weeks, I've been reading the book of Job. And I came upon Job's line, we accept good things from God. Should we not also accept evil? He said, Father, I don't know what God is doing, but He knows, and I know that He knows, and I have to trust Him. I just beg Him that whatever He allows in my life be for His glory. that if he desires this suffering, that he use it for good in the world, for the salvation of souls, for the good of my wife, my children. He said, do I pray for a miracle? Absolutely. But even more so, I pray that God's will be done in my life, because that's what's best for me. What does our Lord say about the man born blind? When people say, why? Why would God allow this? He says it is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. I believe that is true for Brad. It will be true for every single one of us, no matter what trial, what cross we face, if we put our trust in him in the midst of it. He will use it for his glory. Otherwise, he would not allow it.